Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
So we are doing a table talk series. And this series is all about having conversations, having a dialogue around topics that are relevant to you and I, but also relevant in society today, and also topics that impact our everyday life. And so today's topic, get ready, it's let's talk about mental health. Mental health is neither a simple nor a light topic. It's both a complex and a challenging life issue and illness. And it's so very, very deeply impacting and deeply personal. Historically, both in the church and society, there's been a stigma about talking about mental health. But church, today we're going to talk about mental health. Today, I want to bring a pastoral and biblical perspective on this topic. And I want to encourage you today to lean in, to take notes, because I will get to some practical points and some scriptures. But mostly, I want the Holy Spirit to talk to you today, because I believe that this topic of mental health can impact each and every one of us in this room today. I want to begin by just undergirding this topic with two scriptures. And these scriptures provide both a vision for how God sees and wants our mental health to be, but also a promise. So let's begin in 3 John verse 2. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health. And I'm pretty sure that's talking about your body health. And that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. You know, one thing I love to do is look at the same verse, but in different translations. So let's have a look at it in the New King James. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. You know, these words were written by the Apostle John, and he was probably in his 70s or 80s. And I love that he is writing to a beloved friend by the name of Gaius. And it's interesting that he would start the letter with this encouragement and this prayer. And it makes me think, well, maybe Gaius wasn't doing so well, that he actually needed some encouragement. Maybe he wasn't doing well physically. Maybe he wasn't doing well emotionally. But John says that I am praying that you will do well. I am praying that you will prosper, not only in your body, but also your soul. And to me, John is saying that it's God's desire that you be healthy, strong, prospering, thriving in your body and soul. I'm sort of wired to think in pictures. And when I thought about this scripture, I thought of these two trees. Now, this one, they actually both sit at the front door of our reception. At some stage, they were the same size. But then I'm not sure what happened, but one thrived and one didn't. And to me, this is a picture of how we can be and how we can be. Now, I'm not sure about you, but which one do you want to be? And I think this scripture talks about thriving. It's got nice shiny leaves. It has got a few dead leaves, though. So not is all particularly 100%, but it's certainly growing and it's healthy. On the flip side, the contrasting picture, there was a time when this was filled with dead leaves because I watched it. I walked past it. And it's got a few new shoots coming. And I want to present to you today, what does God want for us? Do you think this one? Yeah? Yes. Thriving and prospering in our soul. As I talk on mental health today, I want to highlight that this topic is not just a matter of our minds, but our whole being. We are living beings with a spirit, soul, and body. And it's interesting that this word soul in this scripture, if you go back to the original Greek, it actually is the word psyche, from which we get the word psychologist, psychiatry, etc. And our soul is actually the seat of our emotions, our thinking, our passions, our ambitions, our appetites, our will, our conscience. Are you with me? And out of that come our behaviours. And so our soul is our inner being. And God's desire is that our whole soul would be, and these are my top four words here, sound, strong, stable, and secure. So that's the vision that God wants for our soul or our mental health. Secondly, and most significantly, is that Jesus cares about our soul. And he can actually change the condition of our soul. Isaiah 61 gives us this promise. And these are the words, that were prophesied about Jesus. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Here's the key bit. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. And so I'm going to talk about mental health. I'm going to get practical, but mostly I want us to catch today, church, that Jesus can set us free and that there is hope, there is healing, that there is freedom that only Jesus can bring. This scripture says he came to bind up the brokenhearted. That means he came to bandage pain. He came to wrap his beautiful loving arms around any area of our life that is broken or bruised, and he comes to bring freedom. He also came to bring freedom from anything that we are imprisoned to, that we are captive to, that we are bound to. So what might that be in the area of mental health? He can set us free from any defeating or destructive ways of seeing, thinking, or behaving. He can remove any emotional stronghold like fear, anger, shame, or rejection. And he can set us free from any anxious or addictive behaviors that hold you. So today, church, if you need freedom, there will be an opportunity for prayer. I want to share a story coming out of the Lower North Shore location by Bronnie Campbell. Bronnie's kind of my age, in her 60s, and she shared this story the weekend before conference. And her story was actually a next step water baptism story, but it's sitting on her battle with depression. And Bronnie has given me permission to share her story, and she's written a few notes just to help me. So walk with me through this story. Bronnie was brought up in a traumatic and destructive childhood. She was terrified of her angry and violent alcoholic father, who suffered PTSD having fought in active combat in World War II. She also had a life-impacting situation in her early 20s when she was rejected and expelled from a church and experienced deep loneliness. She came to C3 in her 30s, and during those 3 decades, followed and grew in God. But now I'm going to quote her. 10 years ago, I began to experience long bouts of extreme depression. There was no rhyme or reason, no obvious cause. And although I did absolutely everything I could to combat it, lifestyle changes, exercise, healthy diet, therapy, antidepressant medication, nothing worked. Bouts lasted 3 to 4 months, interspersed with several months of feeling absolutely fine. I could find no answers. I analysed it, tracked the cycles, tried every strategy possible to combat it. She even penned kind of some graphic words to describe what the depression felt like. The black dog is back. I drop my head into my arms, abject despair in every muscle. I am a battle-weary warrior in mortal combat against a grisly, invisible force monikered depression. My weapon's pitiful, futile against its visceral intensity. Despair, misery, hopelessness, bleak fatalism, black facets of the same colossus. A sinister, malevolent, thank you. Black hellbound. In its face, every joy is bankrupt. Well, Bronnie had been facing this for 10 years. And at the beginning of this year, she heard the call out for water baptism. And the Holy Spirit prompted her to get water baptized. And in the lead up to getting water baptized, this is what she said. Before I was baptized, I had serious words with God and confronted him with stern words, begging him to either heal me or give me the grace to cope with the burden. Apparently, God has broad shoulders. He can handle our desperation and even our anger. I was baptized on a March evening at Oxford Falls. Post-baptism, I felt a significant shift and was tentatively hopeful. Nevertheless, I waited for the other shoe to drop, for the depression to roll back as it had for the previous decade. But so far, no depression. I'm at 6.5 months and counting. I said at 12 months I'd celebrate, but it feels pretty celebratory today. I love Bronnie's audacious faith and audacious request. She'd had enough of suffering mental health. And so I just want to say to all of us today, when you've had enough, come to God. I want to take a moment to paint a picture on the prevalence and expressions of mental health in our society today. The Beyond Blue website states 1 in 2 people will experience a mental health issue in their life. If I was to divide this room up, that's a whole half of this room. From this statistic, I'm guessing most of the people in this room today have either experienced firsthand walking with mental health, or secondhand walking with a friend, a family member, or a work colleague, and that you've seen the far-reaching impact of poor mental health. Now, when talking about mental health, it's important to understand that two terms are commonly used. The first one is mental health disorders versus mental health distress. And let me explain the difference between the two. A mental health disorder is a condition that has been given a specific diagnosis by a medical professional and is characterised by being more persistent and more impacting in a person's life. Mental health disorders require treatment through medication and through therapy. The most common mental health disorder in Australia are anxiety disorders, and this affects 1 in 4 people within Australia. Other examples of mental health disorders are depression, suicidal ideation, bipolar, PTSD, ADHD, eating disorders, paranoia, psychosis, and schizophrenia. There are over 450 diagnosable mental health disorders. When I read that, I just went, wow, 450. The second term that often is used is mental health distress. This is when someone has high enough levels of emotional or mental distress that they struggle to cope with the daily demands of life. It is not a formal diagnosis, nor does it require medication, not necessarily require medication. But I want us to catch something today, church, that if you go through mental health distress, and this is commonly caused just by the pressures and the pain of life, the stressors of life. But if you stay in that mental health distress long enough, it's persistent enough, it can merge, develop into a mental health disorder. So in my thinking, it is good to know how to cope with mental health distress. So today, I'm going to give you some biblical principles on, firstly, how do we cope with mental health distress? But secondly, we need to know how to strengthen our mental health. Our soul, our mind, and our inner being, we actually want to build mental health resilience. And so to support this, let's have a look at a scripture. Ephesians 3:16. And these are the words of Paul. Once again, a little bit like John, it's a prayer. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. That word inner being, once again, refers to the soul. And so God wants our soul, our inner being. Just put your hand like this is my inner being. This is my inner being. And he wants it strong. But how does it get strong? It doesn't get strong by going to motivational talks where you walk through coals and hot fire and you get rah-rahed up. It gets strong with the power of God at work in your life. It gets strong because of the saving work of Jesus who died for you and I. It gets strong because of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life that can bring revelation and transformation. It gets strong, our inner being gets strong because we get the Word of God that divides and gets into our very being and can transform us. It gets strong when we pray with the power of the Spirit. And so don't do the methods of the world, but do the methods of God. And as I so truly believe that God can do miracles in our life, where we are carrying something and then in an instant that thing has been removed or healed. But I have found primarily it is step by step, piece by piece. The process of healing requires a commitment before God to walk the journey. When I went through, I've been through numerous healing journeys, but one of them, the Lord gave me this promise from Psalm 84:5-7. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Let me just pause there for a moment. When I went through this journey of healing, oh my goodness, it was the most vulnerable journey I've ever been through. I cried for 6 months. My poor husband didn't know quite what was happening. But the Lord gave me this promise to say, you have put your heart on a pilgrimage. You have put your heart on a journey. So keep walking. As they passed through the Valley of Baca, as Amanda went through that Valley of Baca, you know what the Valley of Baca is? It's the Valley of Weeping. Now, your valley might not be weeping. It might be anger. It might be severe frustration. It might be God stripping you bare. But whatever your valley, just keep walking. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. And here's the promise. You go from strength to strength, strength to strength. You just put your heart on a pilgrimage and it will go from strength to strength. Weeping will be replaced with wholeness and weakness will be refined to strength. Today, I want to bring three biblical principles that can be applied now if you are walking through mental health distress or in the future. But also, these principles will help you to develop mental health resilience. So you ready to write? Because now we're getting down and getting practical. Come on, I like that. Thank you. Number one, seek support and talk it out. Seek support and talk it out. I'm not sure about you, but I've certainly experienced this, and I know as a pastor I've watched this in others. Often when you go through a mental health episode or challenging situation, a common thing is to withdraw. It's to isolate yourself and to be shut up. And so my encouragement is that there is such power in talking with someone. Talking not only normalizes and validates what you're experiencing, but it can even dissipate the power of it. Beyond Blue website says this: talking about mental health is not just a nicety, it is a necessity. By breaking the silence and sharing personal stories, it saves lives. And here's a scripture. It's always good to have it. Here we go, James 5. Make this your common practice. This is from The Message. I like that. Make it your common practice. Don't just do it every now and then, but it's a common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. So this scripture actually talks about confessing your sins to somebody else. I don't know about you, but that takes a lot of humility. It takes a lot of exposing oneself. But when I think of this scripture, I think it's broader than just confess your sins. I think it's saying confess your struggles, confess your insecurities, confess your weaknesses, confess the times where you've stuffed up. Confession is good for the soul, but it's also a biblical way of finding freedom. As I drove here today, I kept hearing this, talk it out, talk it out, talk it out. Because if you've got things on the inner, in your inner being that you are struggling with, it's stuff. And it's dark, it's yucky, it can be confusing, it can be overwhelming. But when you talk it out, you actually can pull that stuff out. It exposes it to the light and dissipates the power of that stuff. I've had a big 2 years. I've been through 3 transitions, and each transition has emotional things that you have to walk through. So I'm just being honest. And I got to handing over the location pastor role, which was so God and so necessary, but it still has emotional sadness to it. And I felt, I actually heard the Lord say to me, Amanda, you need to put your garbage out. Put your garbage out. And I literally saw, I don't know about you if you've got a garbage bin, me going to the bin with my little plastic bag, putting in the bin and then walking it to the driveway, and the garbage truck picking it up and putting the garbage out. And I went, okay, how do I put my garbage out, Lord? He said, find someone that can pray with you. And so I reached out to a beautiful couple who prayed for me. And you know what? I put my garbage out. I got rid of stuff that I didn't need to carry into my next season. Let me ask you today, who needs to put their garbage out? Who needs to bring out any pain, any things that need to be brought out into the open? Are You Okay says that only 50% of Australians will seek help, professional help. And an observation I've had as a pastor is that some generations, particularly baby boomers and builders, and also more often men, are less likely to seek support, especially those who have been raised to be stoic and self-reliant. In the New Testament, there are 50 directives given on how we should relate to one another. And some of these are about supporting one another in times of distress. Comfort one another, bear one another's burdens, speak truth to one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, sharpen one another. or beautiful things that can help us in the midst of a difficult time. In seeking support and talking it out, you can talk with a trusted friend and talk with a professional. Let's have a look at a scripture. Proverbs 27, verse 9 says this: "The heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense." How beautiful is that? Who's your friend that you go to in times of trouble? Who is it? You need to know. Who is it? Who is that friend? And I do believe that this principle goes two ways. It's who do you go to, but who can come to you, and that you support them in a difficult situation in their life. The second one is seek support from a professional. When you're in distress or have a mental health disorder, the depth of insight and the need for consistent support and ongoing accountability can actually be too much for a friend or even a spouse. And so it is highly recommended that you seek professional help from a counsellor, a psychologist, or a coach. Let me declare today, it is one of the best financial investments that you can make in your life is to sow into your soul strength. But we are blessed that we live in a country where we have organisations like Beyond Blue who offer free counselling. Also, we have a Medicare system, getting practical, that subsidises 10 sessions of counselling in a year. And all you have to do is go to your GP and ask for a mental health plan. Proverbs 20 verse 5 says this: Though good advice lies deep within the heart, a person with understanding will draw it out. And I have found in seasons of my life when I've gone to a professional person, that is exactly what they do. They draw out of me what needs to be drawn out. I've got a little show and tell here. I've found that my life and my issues are like a mixed up ball of ribbons, all different colours. And that in a counselling session, a wise person will pull out one thread at a time and go, okay, what's this emotion? Where did it come from? What's it doing in your body? Okay, we'll deal with that one. Now we'll go to the green one. Okay, that's what a counsellor will do. Draw out things. Another picture is your mess can be like a bit of a messy jigsaw and you need help to put the pieces together. And so that's what a counsellor can do. The second big biblical principle is this: commit to actively consider. Consider means this: to think carefully and deeply about something. Why should we commit to actively consider? Because looking at yourself leads to learning about yourself, which leads to transforming yourself, which leads to a stronger self. And self-awareness is super helpful in so many ways. The more self-aware you are, the more you'll understand your patterns and your cycles of thinking, emotions and behaviours. You'll be able to link triggers to your reactions. You'll be able to see causes and consequences. So I'm going to highlight some things, some areas of your life to actively consider to strengthen your soul or your inner being. And these are really practical. So number one, actively consider your unique personality. There are so many online temperament personality tests that you can do. Most of them are for free, and every one of them is helpful for you to get to know you. Because your unique temperament and personality has amazing strengths. And those strengths will cause you to be productive and effective and successful. But let me blast out here. Every personality temperament also has weaknesses, vulnerabilities, blind spots. And it's those things that will trigger us and activate mental health distress in us. So let me give you an example in my own world. I did the Myers-Briggs test. It came out that I'm an INFJ, the 16 personality types. I'm 1% of the population. I'm a bit of a unique breed. I is for introvert. I get energized by time alone and deep conversations with one. So I get distressed if I'm around people all day. Super helpful to know. N is for intuitive. I see and feel things deeply, which means I can get distressed with external stimulation like loud noises and perfumes. I get distressed walking through the perfume thing at the airport. Too much stimulus. F is for feeling. I have strong convictions and I get very distressed when I'm caught up in a decision that does not align to my values. J is for judging. I like a plan, and if I don't have a plan, I actually get really distressed. So knowing this about yourself means that you can put boundaries in, you can manage the areas of your vulnerabilities, and therefore you can harness your emotional and relational and capacity. Number two, actively consider yourself when you are triggered. Being triggered is when you negatively react in a situation. Your body becomes dysregulated because of the hit of cortisol and adrenaline, and you may feel emotionally vulnerable or aggressive, or your mind can get consumed with self-defeating thinking. I call a trigger a ping. A ping. Can you say that with me? Ping. Who knows the feeling of pinging? When something happens and there's a trigger on the inside of you that is a ping. When you ping, something is happening. Pinging often leads to distress, and pinging is a valuable time where you can learn something about yourself. I have a personal strategy and statement that I live by, and you might want to definitely write this one down. Ping, pause. Simone knows it because she's heard me teach it. Process. Ping, pause, process. So if you have pinged, take the time to process what's happening in your inner being. There's three questions you can ask yourself. What happened to cause the ping? What is the ping doing in me? Like what's it doing in my body? What's it doing on the inside of me? What's it doing in my thinking? And thirdly, how should I then respond? The third thing that we can actively consider is our thinking. And our minds and our thinking are so powerful. They actually frame often our behaviours and our securities and our sense of self. In my 40s, I went through kind of a struggling time. I was pre-menopause. I was between jobs, kind of transitioning jobs. I was looking after an aging mum and my children were just leaving home. So there were a lot of life changes. But pretty well, I just felt, There was a heaviness. There was a sense of, I wouldn't call it depression because I wasn't diagnosed, but there was certainly I'll just call it a. And I sat down with God and he said to me these words, Amanda, you have lies in your head. Amanda, you have lies in your head. And so with my journal, I said, I better look at these lies. And I wrote them down. They were just simple, short statements that were around my identity, my self-worth. And there was eight of them. And by writing them down, I exposed them. I could look at them and then I could work on them. Let me read a couple of scriptures about what we need to do with our mind. Romans 12 verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me just say here, this renewing of our mind is not by writing a positive affirmation. This renewing of our mind is from getting a scripture that will replace the lie or whatever is negatively framing our thinking. And then 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this: we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Wow, it's very proactive, isn't it? We're renewing our mind, we're demolishing strongholds, and we're taking captive every thought. The fourth thing that we can actively consider is our emotional makeup. Most of us have emotional vulnerabilities and strongholds. Some of these can be anger, envy, bitterness, fear, anxiety, inadequacy. I know mine. I know them very well because I've walked through each and every one of them to find a sense of healing and wholeness. And they are rejection, shame, and sorrow. There was a time in my life where I had a strong, probably in those 40s when I was, it was a spirit of sorrow over me. And I actually had to get it delivered off me. But I know my emotional makeup vulnerabilities, and I have worked on each one of those vulnerabilities before God and with the help of others. Number five, what else do you actively need to consider? I'm giving you some homework here. Are you all right with this? It's practical. Number five is actively consider any trauma and its causes and consequences in your life. We all have had a childhood with experience and relationships that have either nurtured and built us or damaged and traumatized us, and that can affect our mental health. Let me share a pastoral observation that for most people in their 20s, they just live life. Maybe a few cracks start to show, but those cracks certainly become deeper in your 30s. If you don't deal with your stuff in your 30s, it becomes crevices in your 40s. It becomes caverns in your 50s. And so it is best to work on the cracks when they first rise up, and because our mental health, our soul inner being, will affect every aspect of our life. In my early 30s, the Lord said to me, "Amanda, this is your time to grow up." To be honest, I was highly offended. I'd been saved since I was 16, and he's saying, "Grow up." Let me share a scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:11. "When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man or a woman, I put the ways of childhood behind me." But the ways of childhood, the ways of childish thinking, childish reasoning can only be done once you've looked at your childhood and you've considered what those thinking patterns might be. And so I went at that time, I was very aware that I had a deep, dark pit in my inner being that I called the deep, dark well. And out of it came tears, out of it came pain. I could, in a professional supporting situation, put words to it, and it was rejection. I was able to put my jigsaw pieces together. I was able to link my reactions and my behaviours. I was prodded to forgive my mum. I was set free in a prayer moment when Jesus came and removed that stronghold of rejection. I am free, but I still walk with a limp. Every now and then that little, I call it my rejection button, pings. I go, there it is, it's pinging. I know it for what it is now. Can I have the worship team come, please? The third biblical principle, and probably the most important, I'm not saying the others aren't important because they so truly are, is that you come to Jesus and you call on him. Often in distress, it's difficult to find God, to be still and to be settled, to be able to hear God, but you have to find a way. And it's my encouragement that you know before you're distressed, how you find God in the midst of distress. For me, I need to go outside. I need to find some grass. I lie on the grass and I'm in the sun and I can find God when I'm distressed. What is it for you? Maybe some of you need to get in your car on your own, sit in a favourite chair. But know the place where you can locate God and just sit. It's not time for intense prayer. It's just time to sit and be still and know that God is God and He can help you. It might be a time to cry. It might be a time to definitely call on Him. Lord, help. It might be what Bronnie did and do an audacious request. Lord, set me free from this thing. But I want to share some truths today that the Lord wants to heal every broken heart and to release the captives.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.